Turn to the book of Ephesians once again, the book of Ephesians and chapter number 6. I want to continue a thought that we started last week here out of the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6. We started reading in verse number 10, read down through verse number 18, and basically took our text last week from verses 10 and 11 and began to look at the thought of certainly facing the daily battles, or if you will, the spiritual warfare of the Christian, and certainly for those that will put their faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and live a dedicated, consecrated life for Him, then certainly we're going to face many spiritual battles, and certainly most of the time it's going to be daily battles. But I'm glad that God has given us a word here in the book of Ephesians that I believe will help us and strengthen us in our walk and in the battles that we're going to face on a daily basis. Last week, again, we looked at the spiritual warfare facing the daily battles, and we talked about verses from verses 10 and 11, the encouragement that God gives in these verses, and we talked about putting our confidence in Him or our faith in Him, and we also talked about a courage to stand, as Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, encouraging them just to stand. And then we talked about convictions to stand, biblical convictions on which to stand. Today, I want to look in verse number 12 this morning. I'm going to probably read verses 12 through 18 once again, but I want to continue our thought on the spiritual warfare and talk about the enemy that we face. We see the encouragement that God gives in verses 10 and 11, but I want us to think about the enemy that we face, the enemy that we face. If everybody's found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's okay. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Verse number 12, once again, let us look at it. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in Your presence once again today, Father, to thank You for another day on this side of eternity, to thank You for this good Lord's day that we've been able to come now this morning and put our hearts and our minds off of everything else around us this morning and center it upon You and Your Word and Your will. Thank You for the Sunday school hour. Thank You for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank You for the beautiful singing, for the prayers that's been offered and all that's been done. Father, I thank You this morning for Your precious Word. Now I pray, Father, as Your servant now this morning, I realize today that Satan and the enemy does not want me this morning to expose him. But I pray this morning as Your servant that God, that You'd hide me behind the old rugged cross here this morning. I pray that You would anoint me, Father, with fresh oil. I pray that, God, our ears and our hearts will be open and attentive to what You have for us in the Word of God this morning. There's no doubt that we have folks sitting right here in this congregation that is going through battles even this morning. So I just pray this morning that as we try to expose this enemy, that God this morning, that God that each of us today would look to You and look to Your Word. And I pray most of all this morning if there be someone here, and Father, they've never trusted in You as their Savior, I pray this morning, God, that you would convict them and draw them. And Father, this very day, they would come by faith and receive you. Maybe somebody's going through a battle that they just need to come and say, Lord, I'm just going to surrender it all to you and look to you today. Father, again, I pray, touch these lips of clay. And Father, whatever you do, we're going to praise you and honor and glorify you, for you are worthy. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Again, as Paul is writing here now to the church at Ephesus, and not only to the church at Ephesus, but has left us as a New Testament church, certainly this great epistle. I love the epistle here to the church at Ephesus. But I especially love chapter number 6 because, as I've already said this morning, if you are a saved individual today, I can promise you there are going to be spiritual warfare that's going to come up in your life. But I'm glad that we don't have to give in to it. And as we talked about last week, then certainly I believe God has ordained it so that we live as victors and not as victims. But I'm afraid many times we allow the God of this world this morning and his influence, if we're not careful, to infiltrate our hearts and our minds. Now, if you're saved, then certainly you're saved for time and eternity, and I'm thankful for that. But friend, his influence and his impact is all around us this morning, and there, all of us are or can be affected by that. And so today, I want to, for a few moments, talk about the spiritual warfare. Now, next Sunday, if the Lord wills, I want to talk about the equipment that we have available to us to fight in these battles. But I believe we ought to expose the enemy before we do that this morning, because I believe that's what God does here in this epistle, and talk about the enemy that we faced. As we said last week, from verses 10 and 11, we considered the encouragement that God gives unto us. Again, let us consider the enemy that we face. Let us consider his influence and his effect on those things around us and those things that we encounter from his attacks on a daily basis. If you and I are going to live, as we said, as victors and not as victims, we must learn some things about our enemy. The enemy should not, this morning, we should not allow the enemy certainly to overcome us, because as we said, greater is he that's in you and I than he that is in the world. And could I say this morning, the enemy today should not be one another. Isn't it amazing today how the enemy will take the principalities and the powers and the things of this world and people in this world and certainly use them this morning to become, if you will, or to make us to think in our hearts and our minds that one another, that we as one another are the enemy. But friend, there is an enemy this morning, and I believe if you're going to fight this enemy, certainly we cannot do it in the power of our flesh and in our own way. We cannot do that. We need God's help this morning. But I also realize today, as we think about this enemy and as we think about any enemy, any kind of battle, and of course, as we're celebrating Memorial Day and certainly remembering those that gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms today, and as I've already said, I'm very thankful for that. But if you're going to go into a battle, you need to know something about the enemy. And certainly as you study about battles, one of the things that the military will do is they'll get all the information that they can about the enemy. Right? Amen. You with me this morning? They will obtain all the information that they can about that enemy so that they know how to fight against that enemy. Well, I believe as Christians this morning, I believe we need to do the same thing. Now, I'm not here to exalt the enemy in any way this morning. He's a sorry, low-down rascal. He's the enemy this morning, and I want to expose him as such. Now, I realize that he's going to do everything that he can to fight against me this morning. I'm in spiritual warfare right now as we speak today. But friend, again, I'm glad that greater is he this morning, thank God, than the enemy. And so I want to expose him, because no doubt there's folks sitting here in this congregation this morning. You're going through some kind of battle. Maybe it's a personal battle. Maybe it's a family battle. I don't know what it is today, but God already knows about it. And friend, I'll tell you, you don't have to give in to it this morning, because hallelujah, God has ordained it so that we would live this morning as victors. Why? Hallelujah, because he
has already won the ultimate battle, thank God, and that was the battle for our souls. And if God's big enough to save us, God's big enough to keep us, God's big enough to help us, and God's given us a word that we can stand in 2018, hallelujah, as victors, and fight the good fight of faith, and be faithful unto our God, and hallelujah, make an impact on those around us this morning. Now, as we talked about last week, we find in verse number 12, we have that word wrestle, and as we said, it's an athletic term, and that word wrestle simply means to struggle, it means to strive, it means to contend, and as I've already said, as individuals, we are no match for this enemy. What I want to do again today is expose some things about the enemy. Now, there won't be new things, but maybe they'll remind us of some things today and help us as we think about the equipment that God has supplied to us for those that will put on that whole armor of God. I'm not going to have time to address that this morning, but I do want to talk about the enemy that we face. So first of all, I want us to think about, as we think about this enemy, is number one today, I thought about the enemy's desire. The enemy's desire. If there's an enemy out there, and there is, then what is his desire? What is his goal? What is it that he is wanting to do? Anytime that we come up against an enemy, there's something that enemy wants to obtain, or something that enemy wants to do. Well, I thought about this as I was studying and thinking about this enemy that we face. And the enemy's desire this morning is to take. Is to take. Now, as you study your Bible today, I believe that you will find that we have a God that wants to give. And He does give. And aren't you thankful for that today? I mean, boy, He's a good God. Oh, my soul today. Hallelujah. Just how good God. I mean, thank God this morning I could stand here for the rest of the day and I could not begin to scratch the surface on just how good our true and our living God is today. My soul, He's been good to each and every one of us here this morning. Would you agree with me today? I mean, thank God He's been so good to us and He's blessed us so much and, I mean, provided salvation and provided every need that we have today. I tell you, He sure is a good God and He's a giving God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'll tell you, we serve a good God. But the enemy is right the opposite. The enemy's desire, the enemy's goal is to take today. The enemy hates God. He hates everything about God. He hates God's people. Amen. He's a sorry, low-down devil. Amen. There's nothing good about this enemy. Amen. And if you're not saved today and you're living for him, friend, you ought to realize today that all he's going to do is take and take and take from you. But God gives. Boy, I tell you, we look at this wicked world we're living in today, we can see he's taking every avenue that he can get in. And listen, he'll take here too if he can. If somebody don't stand up, as we talked about last week, and get committed, and somebody don't have some courage, and somebody don't have some convictions, he'll do the very same thing to the individuals here and to the families here. Thank God this morning, the enemy wants to take, he wants to divide, he wants to conquer, but thank God I'm glad I'm serving a God that wants to give, that wants to bless, that wants to help, that wants to use us. I'm telling you, thank God, there's no greater life today, thank God, than serving the true and the living God this morning, my friend. But as we try to expose this enemy, we think about the enemy's desire is to take. God wants to give. Let me give you some verses of Scripture. John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not." Now who's the thief? The enemy. Satan himself. The thief cometh not. Now listen to this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Why in the world would you want to listen to him? Why in the world would you want to follow him? Why in the world would you want to get together with him and go with him? Friend, I'll tell you what. He comes to kill and steal and destroy. And that's exactly what he's doing today. Preacher, I'm saved. Well, friend, I pray everybody in the building is saved today. I don't know that. If you're not, you ought to get saved. But, friend, his influence is all around us. Think about it in this aspect. Paul is writing to the believers in Ephesus and telling them that they better put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because of this enemy. If you and I are not aware of this enemy and gird up against this enemy will overcome us. Now, he can't take our soul, but he can rob you of your testimony. He can rob you of your joy. He can rob you of your influence. He can rob you of your time. He can rob you of your family. Oh, yes. He's a sorry, low-down rascal, as I've already said. And his desire is to take. Go back and study about, of course, as the Bible teaches about Satan, and of course being there in the heaven and being the exalted cherubim and being over all the singing. I tell you, he had an exalted position in heaven, but he got to the place that he wanted to take the place of God. And God threw him out. And ever since then, God, the enemy's desire is to take. He's a sorry, let me say it again, he's a sorry, low-down rascal. He's not your buddy, he's not your friend. He is your enemy. As I've already said this morning, too many times we look at one another and we look at people and all those things that are enemy. But friend, when it boils right down to it, we say that the enemy is Satan. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But that verse don't stop right there. Let me give you the rest of the story. John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Thank God. That, if I didn't share another thing this morning, that ought to make you just want to shout and raise your head and praise God this morning. Thank God the thief cometh but for to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, hold on, wait just 1 minute. I've come to give life, and I've come to give it more abundantly. Thank God this morning. Aren't you glad for one that can overcome the enemy this morning, my friend? And he can overcome the enemy in your life today. But you must realize that the desire of the enemy is to take. Also, Peter gives us a warning in 1 Peter 5, chapter number 5, in verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober. In other words, that word sober means to watch. Be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, that low-down stinking rascal that I'm preaching about this morning, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Peter's writing to the believers there that are under persecution and other under suffering. He says, watch out for this enemy, because he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now let me give you some things about, certainly as you think about devour. It means to drink down. It means to gulp entirely. It means to swallow up. That's what the enemy is trying to do to you and to me and to all the believers. You say, well, preacher, what about the non-believers? He's already got them where he wants them. You're no problem to him this morning. You're exactly where he wants you to be. It's when you begin to apply faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to live for Him. I can promise you the spiritual warfare is going to come. Well, preacher, why even get involved in it? Why even get saved? Because it's a whole lot better on this side, thank God, living for God than it is living for the enemy. I'll prove it to you here in just a little while with the help of God. Notice as we think about the enemy's desire and his desire to take and to attack. I thought about this. A lot of times he tries to attack those that have been wounded. If you'll notice, a lot of times as they show these shows on TV and about animals, and any time there's a predator, and any time certainly there's something that they are chasing, a lot of times they will weed out that one that might be wounded. And boy, that's going to be the first one that they can go to, that they can get a hold of. You say, well, preacher, why would you say that this morning? Because there's possibly somebody here this morning that's been wounded somewhere along the way. I don't know about you, but there's times I've been wounded. And boy, it's amazing when you get wounded in this battle, in the spiritual battle that we're in. And sometimes it may be something that somebody says, something that somebody does. Either way, we just become wounded in this thing called Christianity. And the first thing you know, the old devil comes around and says, I'll tell you what y'all to do. Y'all just throw up your hands and quit. There ain't nobody that loves you. There ain't nobody that cares. He begins just to tell us all kinds of, why? Because we've been wounded. Now, just because we've been wounded don't mean that God's give up on us. Just because you've been wounded doesn't mean that God's put you under a shelf or on a shelf and said, I'm finished with you. I'm glad God doesn't work like that this morning. I'm just telling you, I know what the enemy does when we get wounded. I'll tell you what, he'll come around and he'll begin to say this and he'll begin to say that. He'll begin to infiltrate our minds. He'll put people in our life if we're not careful that all they'll do is give us words of discouragement. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad, thank God, there's an encouraging word. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that will help us even when we get wounded. I can promise you, if you live for God, somewhere along the line, you're going to get wounded. But that doesn't mean you have to give in to the enemy. Not only did I think about him taking and attacking those that are wounded, but a lot of times those that are weak. Maybe they're weak in their faith. Maybe they're weak in their understanding. Maybe they're weak in their walk. Listen, friend, I don't know. There's a lot of things that can come our way to cause weakness to come into our spiritual life. But, friend, I want to tell you something again this morning. Thank God, just stay in the book. Stay with God. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Don't let the enemy overtake you this morning in your moment of weakness. And there's a lot of times that weakness comes from that wound. And isn't it amazing how in our moment of weakness, that sorry rascal will come around. Or he'll send somebody by that'll try to convince us to go in the wrong direction. Do you understand that today that a lot of people that have lived for, I mean saved and lived for God because of a moment of wounding or weakness? Old Satan's come around and he said, hey, I got something better over here for you. Ain't nobody cares. Ain't nobody loves you no more. Oh, you've done messed up so bad that God won't even take you back. Well, I've got good news to report to you this morning. Thank God. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, sixth chances. I'm glad, thank God, there's a God that loves you and wants the very best for you this morning. Amen. Many a wife has been drawn away from her family in a moment of weakness. Many a husband has been drawn away from his wife and his family in a moment of weakness. Oh, I know this ain't swinging from the chandeliers preaching, but it's truth. And it's truth you better get a hold of. Preacher, that would never happen to me. Hold on, brother. Hold on, sister. You have no idea the enemy you're facing. I thought about attacks in the moments of, or in the times when people are wounded, when people are weak, or I also wrote this down just to kind of keep things together this morning, but I also talked about, or thought about, not only does he attack the wounded and the weak, but he attacks the worried. You know, some people are just natural worriers. I mean, they just worry about everything. Preacher, you ever been guilty of that? Yeah, I'll have to admit I have. I mean, just worry and fret over every little old thing. Listen, there's things we can't change. There's things we can't do. There's things this morning that's going to come our way that we have no way of knowing or no way of changing. But this morning, I'm glad if we'll keep trusting in the God of heaven, if we'll equip ourselves with the whole armor of God, we can stand in the midst of the battles. And those things that we worry over, those things that we fret over, I'm glad He's got enough to take care of them this morning. Just how big is our God? We've already said this morning, if He's big enough to save us, big enough to keep us, He's big enough to take care of us and to help us take care of our worries and our fears. Preacher, I ain't afraid of nothing. You a liar. You ought to repent and get right with God. Why? Because you and I are all made out of the same stuff. Now, you may not be like I was describing a while ago. I mean, some people just worry over everything. I mean, just bless their hearts, they just worry over everything. But everybody has something that they fear. Because we're living in a very fearful time. Just open up your eyes. But God, time and time in His Word, says what? Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why did He have to repeat it so many times? Because He knows how we are. Don't let the enemy this morning attack you and devour you in your times of worry. In your times of being wounded. And your times of weakness. Because that's when He will attack the hardest. Not only do I see the enemy's desire, but secondly, I want to think about for a few moments this morning the enemy's deception. Notice in verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice back in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice also in verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Pew, pew, pew. He's a firing them all the time. Why? Because the enemy this morning, his desire is to take. And then we see the enemy's deception. The word wiles, which is used in verse number 11, it means trickery, or it means to lie in wait, just like a sorry rascal. Trickery, or to lie in wait, to take what's not his to take. And don't you give it to him. Amen. Don't you give in to him. Get armored up and go for God. I thought about three things about the enemy's deception. Number one, I thought about his deceptive words. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis where he comes to Eve there in the garden, and the Bible says he's more subtle. That means cunning. That means crafty. He will use anyone he can to deliver
these deceptive words.
What did he use there in the garden? He used a serpent.
Well, I've heard some serpents run around my time, ain't you? Number one, in his deception, he uses deceptive words.
And you find that all through the Scriptures. And I'm not going to take time this morning to elaborate on those today, but think about all the deceptive words, the cunning and crafty words that we hear in our day. Also in the Gospel of John in chapter number 8, verse number 44, Jesus calls him a murderer and a liar. You can't believe nothing that rascal says. Why in the world would we even listen to him? But boy, we do, don't we?
But his words are deceptive.
Notice as you go back there to the garden in the book of Genesis, he uses just enough of God's word to make it sound convincing. Yea, hath God said. Not only does he use some of God's word, but then he questions God's word. How many people today are living in confusion and living as a victim and still a victor because of all the confusing words and phrases that are being used even in our day? Listen, God's given us a pure word. And praise God, we ought to heed to it. But there is a lot of deceptive words. A lot of deceptive words. Not only did I think about in his deception, his deceptive words, but I thought about his deceptive works and workers. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? He makes things that are bad or evil, he tries to make them look good. Isn't it amazing how he paints a pretty picture, even of sin? See, we're living in a day now to where we want to put an attractive name on sin. I'd probably get in trouble right here. But you know it's the truth. We dress it up and we try to make it sound better by a more attractive phrase. The Bible calls a drunkard a drunkard. Today it's an alcoholic. Or it's substance abuse. Now I'm not making light of that. I've faced that in my own life and my own family. I know what that's like. It's terrible. We could go on and on and on. Oh, he paints it such a pretty picture. Every beer commercial, I mean, man, I tell you, they either got beautiful women, beautiful cars, they got something on there to what catch your attention. You know what the end result of that is going to be? Destroyed lives, destroyed homes. Destroyed health. I'm still preaching good. Amen. Oh, it won't hurt anything. Just try it one time. These families suffering today from children that's tried something just one time. Mom and daddy's good people, but it's because some friends can listen to me, young people. Listen to me, listen to this preacher well. Just because somebody offers you something don't mean you got to take it. Amen. Right. Amen. I'm trying to help you this morning. Because I know how this sorry rascal enemy, he works. He works in the avenue of deception. Oh, we're having just a grand old time. Man, we higher than a kite. We don't even know who our name is or how to get back home. Boy, that just don't sound like much fun, does it? But it's so deceptive. And one of the greatest problems we have in America today is this opioid crisis. It's not just the illegal stuff. There's people today that is longing for a daughter and for a son. For a husband, for a wife. That because they got hooked on something a doctor gave them, destroyed their life. I'm preaching truth now. I know people don't like it this day and hour, but praise God, I'm going to preach it anyhow. I'm trying to keep you out of trouble. Well, preacher, I got to have this, and I'm not saying there's things that we don't have to have, but you don't have to become a slave to them. Amen. There's a God in heaven that can deliver this morning. Yes. Oh, the enemy's deception. I know I was going to say all that, but here it is. Take it for what it's worth, and I ain't going to charge you nothing extra for it. But his goal is to deceive. As I already talked about a while ago, there's been a husband in a weak moment, a wife in a weak moment. And some sorry rascal comes along. Boy, he tells them what they want to hear in that moment of weakness. Hey, man. And the next thing you got's a broken family. Well, I just don't love my husband. We've been married for 18 years, but I just don't love my husband anymore. See, people today's got a warped sense of love anyhow. I don't know why I'm saying all this, brother, but I'm just trying to follow the Spirit. You say, preacher, are you mad at me this morning? No, I'm trying to help you. Preacher, it would never happen to me. Mark her down. Don't ever use those words, never. Man. I never could figure out when somebody had been married 18 or 20 years. I just don't love them anymore. Well, evidently, you didn't love them to start with. Preacher, I just didn't know what I was getting into. Sometimes that's true. When I realize things happen, listen, I understand that. I understand that, and I'm not throwing you under the bus. Please understand me. But don't let the sorry, low-down rascal deceive you in a moment of weakness that you're going to regret for the rest of your life. They used to call that adultery. We'll put this on radio. That'll get her ears perked up, won't it? Well, she's probably going on there, so. Hello, hello out in radio world. See, they used to call that adultery. Now, I don't know what to call it. But her kids were sitting in front of TV screens showing shows that show all kinds of ungodliness. The homosexuality thing, I mean, it's all right now. I don't even want to go there far, but. Well, does God love them? Sure he does. Can God save them? Sure he can. And he wants to. What's happened? The enemy has deceived. Oh, I've got to hurry. I'm losing some of you. Somebody get out something, resuscitate some of them. I thought about his deceptive words. I thought about his deceptive works and his workers. Again, making things that are bad or evil, try to make them look good and sound attractive. And boy, he's good at that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 13 and 14. For such false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now that word transformed is an interesting word. That word transformed means disguise. In other words, if somebody's in disguise, you can't tell who they are. Right? I mean, I know some of you go trick-or-treating. Maybe some of the adults, I don't know. But people put on a disguise. But instead of putting on a disguise that portrays who he really is, He puts on a disguise that makes him look better than what he is. And not only him, but notice all of his workers. It's right here in the text. So I think about the deceptive works. I think about the deceptive work in workers, and I think about the deceptive world. Notice again in verse 12, "For we wrestle not, we strive not, we contend not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Then, preacher, who can I trust? You can trust Jesus this morning. You can trust Him.
The enemy we face, the enemy's desire, the enemy's deception. See, this world is a demonic world. And it may not be exactly Satan attacking you, but it may be some of the hounds of hell attacking you. When you've got principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, friend, there's an army that's against you. There's an army that's against me. But I'm glad we're not in this thing alone. When He said He'd never leave us and He'd never forsake us, honey, you can take that to the bank. See, our problem is we're trying to fight our battles without our armor. And we'll talk about that some next week if the Lord wills. So I think about the enemy's desire. I think about the enemy's deception. But let me give you this in closing this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to take that rascal just exactly where he belongs. I thought about the enemy's destiny. Hey, man. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. He's already a defeated foe. He's already been crushed. He's already been defeated. And one day, God Himself, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to send Him to His eternal destiny. How do you know, preacher? Read your Bible. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 10. I like this verse of Scripture. For anybody that's ever had to battle this rascal. And if you know Christ today, you've had to go to battle. There's spiritual warfare all around. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, this is not the Scriptures, but I wrote it down and said, amen, amen. Thank God that is the enemy's destiny. That's what's going to happen to him one day, and I'm glad I'm going to be there to witness it. But while we're here, the enemy is working continuously. To do what he can. To discourage you. To discourage me. To discourage this church. To discourage these families. Don't give in. Because he's already been defeated. Don't let your moments of wounded, being wounded, your moments of weakness and your moments of worry become avenues for Satan to throw those fiery darts at you. He may throw them, but if you got your shield of faith up, your helmet of salvation, you got on this armor, it's going to be pretty hard to penetrate.
Our problem is we let our guard down. We don't see the power and the significance of the enemy. If you're going to defeat an enemy or stand against an enemy, you've got to know something about him. And the more you know about him, the better off you're going to be when it comes to battle. The spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare and the enemy that we face. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're going through. But I know one that does. And maybe you've let your guard down. Maybe you have not had your armor on like you should. You've got wounded somewhere. And you still hadn't got over it. You know, there's a lot of people who've been wounded that never got over it. Now, you can live as a victim, or you can live as a victor. And it's entirely up to you. Just because you've been wounded don't mean that God's done with you. Just because you come weak in a moment doesn't mean you let your armor down. You got weak. You messed up. It doesn't mean God's done with you. Don't let the enemy tell you that. Or maybe it's over something you've been worried about. And you've tried your best to figure it out. You've tried your best to fix it. And it just seems like the enemy just keeps coming with those fiery darts, one right after the other. Come trust God today. If you're here today lost and you've never been saved, you need to be saved. But if you're here as a Christian today, and man, you're just fighting some kind, you don't have to come tell me anything. It's none of my business. It's between you and God. But I'll be glad to try to pray with you and help you. Others will try to pray with you and help you, but more than anything, He'll help you. Don't live your life as a victim. Live as a victor. Because God has willed it so. Remember, the enemy's desire is to take. And if you give that sorry rascal an inch, he'll take a mile. Don't give in to the enemy. Some people have thrown up the white flag of surrender. And praise God, we ought to raise the flag of Christianity and keep fighting the good fight of faith. That's one thing Paul got to say down toward the end of his life. I fought a good fight. Finished my course. I kept the faith. If Paul done it, you and I can do it as well. But only with God's help. Let's stand to our feet all over the building.